It's amazing what crushing does. We don't like it. We don't sign up for it. As my husband said earlier, we lost our son and my great auntie in June, and a whole bunch of other things went wrong. And it's amazing how the presence of the Lord becomes so real. It becomes more real than even almost, it's, I can't really explain it. It's when I got saved, I got so radically saved and got so supernaturally filled with the Holy Spirit. As many of you know, in middle of the night in bed, nobody laying hands on me. But the heavenly host, the heavenly presence of the Lord has become so real to me. And I don't think I'll talk about some of my experiences tonight. Huh. Thank you, Lord. Many of you have gone through a lot of crushing of your own. And it's amazing how sweet the Lord gets, how close He gets, and you just want to be right there. More, more. I mean even more. Especially when He allows you to peer into heaven. There's no words. What I did feel to share tonight, I didn't put a message together, but 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And as the Spirit of the Lord nudges you tonight, or speaks to you, or prompts you. You know, we don't take up offerings. We don't take offerings here at these meetings. We allow the Spirit of the Lord to touch you. We allow the Spirit of the Lord to move upon your heart, and you sow as the Spirit leads you. When there's a word that jumps out, when the anointing hits, when however the Lord moves on you, you sow into it. As you know, we're getting ready to have Judy Jacobs up. And there will be others. But that's all I want to say about that. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the hidden and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He talks about God has that that not many are wise according to the flesh. And as I read that, God just began to really speak to me that if we allow the crushing to do its good work in us, it's going to produce a great harvest. Those of you that have gone through crushing in this season, you better claim your harvest. You better claim your harvest. Thank you so much, worship team. You guys are awesome. You guys are totally awesome. I love you and I appreciate you. We love you. We appreciate you. Don't sit back and let the enemy accuse you. Don't sit back and let the enemy let you just sit down. When you go through a crushing and it produces, because we have a choice in this. We have a choice how we're going to respond to our crushing. And it can produce something so powerful. It can produce something so rich and long-lasting, everlasting, everlasting. Not just souls, lots of things. Salvations, yes, healings, deliverances. Start asking big. Start asking big. Right, Mother Kay? She told me that tonight. Start asking big. We're too narrow-minded. So the flesh, he starts crushing out the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. He says, not many mighty. That independent spirit, we don't think we have it, but we have it. We have it. He starts breaking that independent spirit, and you will walk with a limp in victory, not with your head hanging down, with our heads hanging up because of the King of glory. And the King of kings, the enemy cannot bring no shame or no blame. But he breaks that. Not many mighty. He starts narrowing it down. The mighty, independent spirit, he's breaking it off from us. And I'm talking. At first, it's me. He's breaking the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the independent spirit off from me, Eleanor, first. I'm walking through it. Not many noble. The humanistic wisdom. The wisdom of the earth. There is a heavenly wisdom that he wants us to walk in more of. Even if you're walking in it already, he has more. He has more for us. He has so much more for us. There's so much more for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. There's a bent toward self-sufficiency. There's a false paradigm that we sometimes can have in our lofty mindset. Oh, believe me, we have been crushed beyond. I can't even go into all of it. I don't want you to leave here feeling sorry for us. It's about Jesus. And it's not because of us sinning either. I know that religious spirit would try to jab with judgment. There's no judgment. There's no judgment. There used to be, in the old days, when somebody got sick or somebody died, there is a judgment cast upon them. Even in the Word, it talks about, you know, what sin did your parents have that caused this sickness on you? Jesus said, there is no sin in the parents, or it's that old stinking thinking. It's that old religious mindset. You know, God actually, yes, there's human choices involved, but God uses those things. Hey, Sister Janice, good to see you. Ringing my doorbell at 9 a.m. God bless you. I love you, Janice. I love you guys. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, Peggy. Thank you. Thank you, guys. But in the crushing, it produces the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, if we let it, if we will allow it. Because He has, our lives are not unto our own. When there's just so much more that He has for us that we limit Him. I remember somebody saying when they went through their time of crushing, they had 10 things that one right after another. I've been counting. Okay, how many we have? 1, 2. Are we done yet, Lord? It produces good fruit. It produces very, very good fruit and abundance. When you're going through your time of crushing, allow it, embrace it. Let it become your friend. Fall on the rock. Oh, fall on the rock and let the rock become total in you, holy in you, to where you don't care what anybody thinks anymore of you. It doesn't matter. All that matters is Him. And us together, building His kingdom together in Alaska together. Amen. Amen. And you know, even though we may have giftings, and like many of you know, I saw my son. I had a dream about him dying in ER 4 years ago. Something of which I shared with my husband and Mary. I don't know, maybe I shared it with my sister. And I tried everything I could to stop it. I saw him dying in ER and I spoke at his funeral. And this is what I want to say. Sometimes God shows us things, and there ain't no amount of fasting, there ain't no amount of praying, there ain't no amount of anointing with oil or going. I mean, I went in his room, I brought my dance fans, I chopped up, I mean, you know, I did everything but stand on my head to stop his death. But I saw it coming. And I saw it coming, and I saw it approaching. And there were, and I just had to, and I told him the dream. But we got his final report, and the coroner's office says he had a degenerative heart, there was nothing. He was not going to live a long life. That he was most likely born with this. And so if there's anyone here tonight and you haven't received the Lord, come on up. Not at the end. Come on up right now. If you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, come on down. Come on. We led so many people to the Lord. Someone who cursed God, his biological father, who cursed God, received the Lord. If you need a fresh commitment to the Lord, come on down. Just come to the altar. There's no shame. There's none. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He's so sweet. He is so sweet. He guides us and leads us into the way of all truth. He makes our bent places in us crooked. I mean straight. Sorry, sometimes I talk backwards. Crooked. Holy Spirit makes our crooked places straight. And everything that is high, low. And what is low, He brings high to the place, the just right places. We need a fresh touch of His Holy Spirit tonight. There's so many, it's been amazing 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's been amazing. Amazing time in the Lord. And the other day as we were praying for this state, I was praying and also praying with a friend and or by myself. The Lord started showing me before I go there. When we embrace the crushing, it's amazing how the aroma of the Lord starts coming forth out of your life. Where once you might have been not untreatable, it's God just changes you. I will never, ever be a same woman again. I will never, ever be the same. I'm a different woman. And I needed to be different. Just as each of you needed to be different. We all have areas. You know, a Father's glory. He wants to come into us in a new way. He wants to usher us into His glory. He wants to break forth. His kingdom of God is within us, and He wants to break forth in a new way and advance, not staying stagnant. That crushing is like that alabaster box that gets broken. God wants Alaska, the church, the ecclesia of Alaska, to advance. And we are. We are advancing. I ask my pups to come tonight. Ron Adams, as I was praying the other day, I started just prophesying out. I saw the Native corporations, the 12 Native corporations. As you know, our President Obama is coming to the Bristol Bay region. Maybe some of you don't know. That's my region. He's coming to the Bristol Bay area, and it's not just for sightseeing either. I started praying and interceding and feeling very protective over our resources. And I saw that the Native corporations are going to begin to emerge together. I saw our Native corporations emerging together, and they're standing together as one force. And even as God is doing that in the Native corporations, He's also doing that, causing Native leaders to step up in the spiritual realm. For Native corporations are going to become very powerful, and they are, but they're going to become even more powerful in days to come. And I saw that they would begin to reach out for spiritual advice and spiritual help. And I saw you, Pops, Ron Adams, I saw you as a spiritual advisor to the Nana Corporation. That they would seek you out even for wisdom and counsel. Even as the spirit of Barnabas would come upon you in a stronger way. And you have that pastoral spirit within you already. But I saw it increasing. I saw your influence increasing. And that the Nana region would even begin to seek you out for spiritual advice. And you would tell them the way to go. You would tell them truth. And then I begin to see my region, that they were floundering. They were floundering a bit. But as they begin to flounder and grope in the dark, as it were, they begin to arise. And they begin to hear the voice of the Lord speak to them. For they too shall come out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I declare that Bristol Bay region, that which holds even the wealth of the gold and the wealth of the oil that's in the Bay Area that has not yet been tapped into, I say that that area will begin to step into the light of the Lord and begin to seek out the counsel of the Lord. And they too have a divine visitation of the Lord. And then I saw the southeast area, the South Sea Alaska. I saw Sea Alaska come out of her hiding place, as it were, and come into not just timber, but come into new resources as well of coal. So that the Native corporations are coming together and they're merging together. And they're going to come into unity with the state on some issues. But they're going to take a real leading role in months and years to come. So some of you, even sitting here, will become spiritual advisors. And there are some that are even in the villages that have prepared themselves will become spiritual advisors to our Native corporations and even to our state government. But there's going to be a real unveiling of Alaska as never been before. And we know that it's been, and we know that it's coming, but it's going to be at a larger scale. So with that, I just want to go ahead and bring this time for my session to a close. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you long. I just have a few comments that I wanted to make. It's interesting to me that Eleanor started out in 1 Corinthians, got to get my glasses, hold on. 1 Corinthians 1, because that's the scripture the Lord gave me to start out with this evening. And we did not compare notes. We had no idea what each was going to share. But he was speaking to me. I won't go over the scripture she's already read, but I will start with verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever. I will set aside. This is God speaking. If he says he's going to do something, what do you think's going to happen? He's going to do it. Where is the wise man? Now remember what I've said. When God asks a question, it's not because he needs information. He wants you to ask your own heart, where are those who are wise? Listen to the news. There are people all over the world who are setting themselves up as wise, that they have the answer for us. The journalists have the questions to trap you into saying something so they can attack your belief system. The politicians are promising this. Things, they're promising the sky, things they cannot deliver. Wise people. However, God has an answer to the wisdom of the world. To those who debate, the debaters, the ones who like to challenge with words and trap you with the cleverness of their words. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. Even a new Christian will step into a wisdom that's far beyond the wisdom of the world, because the world's wisdom is foolishness. I remember hearing an interview on TV of the wisest people on earth. I believe it was Ben Stein who was doing the interviewing. But he was interviewing this scientist, this scholar in France, older gentleman, gray-haired, and he asked them about the origin of life. And he began to pontificate. You know what pontificate means? You puff out your chest and start presenting your wisdom, strutting a little bit. And his wisdom was this. Well, an alien spaceship flew by. And scattered seed on planet Earth. And I could tell that his wisdom had been made foolish. Now, he has some natural wisdom, but his wisdom. No, let me rephrase that. He has some natural knowledge that he's uncovered, but true wisdom will only come from God. And the scripture speaks so clearly in this chapter about wisdom. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe, to save those, to deliver those, to redeem, to prosper, to bless those who believe. He doesn't ask that you're wise. He doesn't ask that you're wealthy. God doesn't ask that you would be beautiful. He doesn't ask that you have a position. All the things that the world system is pressing you to cherish, God never told you to value that, because he doesn't value that. He values those who believe. I went to the Moravian Church when Brother Abraham George was there. You know, Brother Abraham George has an amazing story of God just raising him from the dead. He was not even born again. God chose a man that was the least likely person to demonstrate a resurrection message. He was not eloquent. He spoke in Yupik. Beautiful Yupik. That was his primary language. He wasn't even well-versed in English, but there he was, boldly sharing his testimony. I was so proud of him. And then everyone got up on the stage. The women first, they began to sing in their native language and then in English. And the men got up and they began to sing in their native language and then in English. And their faces, I had a revelation of something. Their faces were so beautiful. They were looking up and just singing their hearts out. Off key, half of them, but singing away. It was beautiful because their faces were full of faith. And I suddenly knew what beautifies the church is faith. Those who believe. God was never looking for the eloquent. Satan was beautiful. He had music oozing out of him. His body, his creation, he had, they call it pipes and tabrets. So when he moved, there was this tinkling and musical sound. That was not what God was looking for. He was looking for the one who would believe. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one whose heart is fully committed to him. Fully believes in him. Listen, I am hearing a deception on the land that is really concerning me. Every generation has a deception. Every generation has a sin. The Bible speaks about the sins of this generation. I've asked the Lord, what is the sin of my generation? My goodness, the sin of the 60s was rebellion. Man, huge rebellion. And every age has their rebellion. I heard a spirit-filled counselor speak one day about every person being born with a tight fist of rebellion on the inside of them. That's just their natural state, something they're born into. But God loves every single person on earth and woos them to a place of wisdom, which is only found at the foot of the cross. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who do not believe, because they see life through the sin of their generation. God has an answer for that. He has wisdom to impart. And that wisdom comes sometimes through some difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances, but God is with us in it all. The Jews asked for a sign. Have you ever asked for a sign? I have. I asked for a sign before. God was merciful to me, but I asked for a sign when I was a baby Christian. desperate to believe, pressing in. But I was so unstable in my belief system because I was unstable in who I was. So I was asking God for a sign, and he was merciful, and he gave me one. But now, I don't ask for signs now. I don't need him to give me a sign. I know he's God. I know he loves me. I know he has America under his control. I know his hand of blessing is on our nation. That has not changed. He has not lifted his hand of blessing off of us. His mercy has been extended to us. Do you know mercy and judgment come together, work together? But his mercy is upon us. I'm crying out for his grace. I'm crying out for his grace to deliver us out of our situation, because I know that I know he wants us to fulfill our destiny. And I hear in my spirit the cries of all of the Christians throughout the generations who have cried out for this nation and have laid their lives down for this nation. And they've cried out for God's destiny to be fulfilled. But that destiny comes with much bloodshed, much death. Just as Jesus Christ hung on the cross and paid a heavy price so that we could come into a place and receive the wisdom of God and come out of this place of suffering and difficulty. I have grieved over the suffering I have seen in different lands and different friends. I've watched while the death hits them, as it hits all of us, or divorce, or betrayal, and that sharp knife that goes into the heart that causes great pain. And I, like everyone else, why, God? Why? Out of the crushing comes wisdom. He said it was the cross. What is the cross? The cross is a place where people die. It's a place where you are nailed to the cross. The word of the Lord says that we are to pick up our cross daily. That means everyone has a cross to bear. Everyone. And when I was younger in the Lord, I was taught a Pollyanna view of Christianity. That it's sweet. It's just a sweet view of Christianity. It's also a very young view, because Christianity is a journey. And when I was young, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I had passion like a child. But when something on the inside grew up, and it was not easy, then I began to look at the world with different eyes. God is calling us to look at the world through different eyes. We cannot look at the world through the belief system of someone else. We have to look at it through the Word of God. Eleanor spoke about the pain, the wisdom that comes through crushing. I believe that we are in a time of crushing in our nation. Blow after blow after blow. We are having a time of crushing personally. I've just had several friends this week. I've spoken with several friends this week going through incredible crushing that they never thought would happen to them. Never, because they were doing everything right. I remember when I thought that. If I do everything right, then God, well, it's the if-then thing. If I do everything right, then God has to bless me. Then he has to give me things. Then he has to. It does not work that way. I'm sorry. I remember when I realized that my ideas about God the illusion I had about God was falling. And it was after a time of tremendous crushing. And I was so angry. Oh, I was so angry. I was so angry with God because he wasn't what I thought he was. You see, he heals, but he does not heal everybody. He delivers, but he does not deliver everybody. He saves, but he does not save everybody. I had such a childish view of God. I could not grow into mature wisdom until those illusions fell. But I'm sort of, you guys know me, I'm come from a fighting stock. I couldn't just say, I'm not one of these little sweet things. I can be sweet. But there's something, I'm a warrior. I was born a warrior. The only way I've survived is because I've been a warrior. But when it came to my father, and I needed to wrestle with him over some difficult truth, I would wrestle and then I'd repent. Wrestle and repent. It was, I thought he was just going to wipe me out. My name would be removed from the rolls. I wouldn't make the bride. That was our big goal back then. We had to make the bride. So now, once I realized, well, it's okay if I don't make the bride. It's okay if I just squeak into heaven. It's okay. As long as I can be honest with God and have a real relationship with him. I want to walk in truth. I don't want illusions anymore. I've had enough of them. I want to be an overcomer because the word of God is true. He said, I am more than a conqueror. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror. My feelings have totally nothing to do with that. I am a conqueror whether I feel like it or not. God is God whether I like it or not. And he is a God that is wonderful and scary. And I learned how to wrestle with him over difficult questions. I'm not talking about being in rebellion. I'm talking about being real. We must be real with God. Now, wisdom is Jesus Christ crucified. That means our Redeemer was slaughtered. He was weak. He was broken. He was hung on a tree, naked in front of everybody. Shame. They just exposed him. And somehow that cross became a key for all of us to come into a supernatural place with God. One of the prophetic words that came tonight said that he was going to take us to an unknown place. Hallelujah! I'm excited about that. I'm ready to go where no man has gone before. But I also know it's not going to look the way I think it will. All along the way, I am listening for wisdom from God. And I'm listening for those who have that kind of wisdom, that have embraced the cross and our Jesus who is hung on the cross. It has become a stumbling block and foolishness to the Jews and the Gentiles. But to thus, listen to this, verse 24, 1 Corinthians 1, 24. But those who are the called. I love that. Do we have any the called here? The called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Listen, we have come into an amazing season in the Lord where we are going beyond our early understanding of the way God functions in America. America has been very self-focused. And I understand, I'm not being critical, I'm very patriotic. which God had to actually deliver me from. Very nationalistic. However, I am now kingdom-minded. God's kingdom. Listen, there is something about this nation that has yet to be fulfilled. We are staggering to our knees. I mean, you'd have to be dumb as a duck not to know that. We are being attacked on every hand. There is economic shaking after economic shaking. An unwise, brutal men and women have taken control. And the church has been crying out at first years ago, crying out with great boldness. You know, our prayers are heard on high, marching militantly in our services. I mean, I've done it. I mean, I've had them marching around the world, around the room, even around the building. You know, back in the days, those were the glory days. But something began to come in. We began to grow up. We began to see reality happening. We began to understand, number one, the depth of our own sin, our own blindness. We began to mature, and it was painful. I talked to people and all across the nation that had been fasting and praying, 40-day fasts, and they were sure at the end of the 40 days things were going to shift, and they got worse. Then came election time, and there was more fasting, more prayer going on in this nation than I have seen ever before. And they were crying out and bombarding the gates of heaven, and great disillusionment came in, and the nation continued her decline. It began to hit our military. Our military was being stripped of any reference to the Lord, any freedom to worship God. Then the attack against the Christians became worse and worse and worse. There is something happening that I consider holy. It's the crushing of a nation. It's a crushing of the kingdom church in the nation, so that they will come through the blood-bought church, clothed in white. There won't be a hint of bigotry in her. You know, the church has been very racist. There won't be a hint of racism in her. The arrogance will be gone. There'll be no arrogance in the kingdom church coming out of this nation. It'll be gone. There'll be no flippant answers. There will be a humility, the gift of God. The fear of the Lord is coming upon us, people. The fear of the Lord is a holy, holy thing. It is holy to fear God, because he really is a big God. He does not think the way we think. He doesn't move the way we move. He doesn't make decisions the way we make decisions. But he has a passionate love for you that's deeper than you can ever understand. You will never plumb the depth of his love for you. It is so great and, to me, totally illogical. Why would he love us? Why? There is something so holy inside of you. Remember what I told you about the Moravians that were worshiping in their language up on the platform, and their faces were filled with faith? And I felt the leap in the Father's heart, because they were beautiful to him. That's what he was looking for. A people who would just believe. Just believe. That's beauty. That's wisdom. Listen, We are being transformed from glory to glory. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. But there's a baptism of love and fire that's coming. This is a baptism that will change you forever. You will not fear whether you're politically correct or not. You will not fear standing up in the midst of a crowd to declare Jesus Christ is the only way, only truth, only life. You will declare that boldly. I had a dream, March 18th, 1915. And at the end of the dream, a young woman in the dream began to prophesy over me. And she said, there are three things you will find in the depth of the river. Wisdom that is only found in deep, dark places. Wisdom that is only found in suffering and crushing. Wisdom that is only found in a face-to-face relationship with God in hidden places. I believe God is calling us to that wisdom. Come up higher. Watch your words. Embrace simple faith. Walk in faith. Don't worry about judging anyone else. You know, Eleanor's right. When you go through a time of crushing, it's amazing the number of people who feel they're called to judge you. They've never been there. But in their minds, they think they can make judgments. They have no idea what they are talking about. There is an evil in this world that God is coming against. And I want you to know, my God wins. He wins in your life. He wins in the lives of your family, your children. Sometimes the way to victory is going through the hard place. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. A people who've walked with God in this valley are a people who have learned wisdom the hard way, and no one can take it from them. Yes, we are victorious. Yes, we are conquerors. Yes, he will hold our hands to the very end. Yes, he will do it. Please bow your heads. Father, I pray right now that those who have gone through a hard time, those who have experienced that crushing, would leave this place knowing they're walking in a new wisdom. Change them, Father. Bring them up higher. Fill them with joy. Let us be a people of joy, even in the midst of difficult things. Let us be a people of joy. I ask you for that victory that you have spoken over us. I ask you for that victory for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Father, give them the courage to walk their journey, to come through their valley, and to come through victorious. In the name of Jesus, we trust you. We will stand. We will have faith, Father. We choose to believe in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you all.
I'm just going to take about 3 minutes here, 5 minutes. You know, this evening was really a different service. It was different than any of the other ones that we've had here. And part of it was when Eleanor was up here and she said, we need to press into the worship of the Lord. She was saying it's a holy place, and so we started to press in there. And even inside myself, it felt a little bit uncomfortable. And then we started listening to the talking and about the crushing. And then I remembered this scripture here in Psalms 51. It says, Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you did not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God is the heart that we give him. I was praying with my wife, and I can't remember, it was not too long ago, but I can't remember if it was before our son had passed away or after. But when we were praying, it's like I saw this vision, and I saw the hand of God just kind of coming down from heaven, and it was going over, and it would touch this one, and it would touch. It was like I could see it go through a person's body and touch the heart. And it would go from this one to this one and to this one. And what I heard him say to me is, this is the year of the heart. And as I began to just listen for his voice, I began to hear him saying that he will touch the heart of man in different ways. There are some that need a natural healing in their heart. The heart is malfunctioning, and the heart needs to be healed, and God will touch those, and he'll heal the heart in that way. But there are some that have a healing in the heart of broken places where they've been broken and they haven't recovered. Somehow the enemy has really taken those broken places and pulled them down. God will be touching those hearts and restoring them. And there's also some that have grown to have a little bit of a hardness in their heart in certain areas, where some of that brokenness needs to come in. And there's a crushing. But in that, there's the visitation of God. And I felt that holy place tonight. And I thank God for that. These are, I feel like they're critical times for us and for our families. And in that, we'll embrace his crushing. But you know what? Joy comes in the morning. And I know that he is going to release such a joy over us that is going to be so incredible. You know what? Even now, there's times that my wife and I are together, and there's a joy that comes over us that is unexplainable. It's hard to explain, but I know it's God. So we embrace all of what God has to do. Thank you so much for your love and your support. Thank you so much for your supporting and loving each other. this is the way we're going to walk through this thing together. So God bless you all. Thanks for coming. Feel